nature. Crossroads of what's happening across this great nation. Name of the show, America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a fabulous start to your week. If not, I promise it'll get better. What's that old cheesy saying? The sun will come up tomorrow. It will. Just ask Mitt Romney, who really, really, really wants to be president, was knocked out of the game in 2008. Now he's the presumptive nominee. So while everybody fights in Congress and gets nothing done, in fact, what will they get done before they go for yet another week recess coming up in a week, is probably a whole lot of nothing. They can't even agree on what to do with the Postal Service, even though you and I and your brother and your mother voted that if we had to do away with Saturday service, that was okay. Because guess what? We'd save $3 billion a year. So can we do without running to the mailbox on Saturday, since most of us get our mail a different way anyway? Yeah, I think we could do that. But on the Hill, they're not so sure. In fact, tied to postal reform, 20-plus amendments, and that's what they're going to be arguing about. Who knows if they even take a vote? They were supposed to do so by the evening on Tuesday. So we'll see. As they duke it out, Mitt Romney says he has a different way, a better way, that people are disillusioned with what they see coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
He promised bringing the country together. That sure hasn't happened. He promised a future with good jobs and good opportunity. That hasn't happened. And his the pathway that he pursued is one which has not worked. Young people recognize that, and I think that's why they're going to increasingly look for a different approach.
Mm. One thing that has worked for the Romneys is Ann Romney, and the reason it's working is because the Democrats gave a little bit of an edge to the Romneys when Hillary Rosen dropped the grenade on CNN that it didn't matter what Ann Romney thought of what was going on with the economy because she never worked. She didn't work anyway. Of course, I am butchering her words somewhat, but that's exactly what the gist of what she said was. So they are using it to their benefit, and they should. If I were a Republican strategist and I were part of their team, I would say, absolutely, you run with it as long as you can. In fact, at a fundraiser in Connecticut, she was pretty emotional. She described the struggles that she's had in her life and some of the criticism for her life choices, which now have made her a huge draw for a lot of different audiences. She spoke at this Connecticut fundraiser for about 17 to 20 minutes. There were so many people that wanted to go that they had to watch on closed-circuit television. She talked about when her youngest son was born, she had to have emergency surgery and that she had to have help running the household then. And so you can imagine how she struck a nerve with a lot of women when it came to the whole housewife versus working woman thing. And that has been a very big play for the Romneys, and it features heavily on many of our minds because a recent poll shows that the Romneys have it when it comes to, interesting enough, women a lot more than they originally did. That was one of the problem areas many thought for Mitt Romney. And trust me, we have a long way to go. He's the presumptive nominee. Gingrich is out of cash. Some contractors say that he owes the money. He hasn't officially pulled out yet. Ron Paul still is officially, I guess, in the race as well. A lot of you like Ron Paul, but he doesn't have the delegates. He's not the guy. The guy is absolutely Mitt Romney, and I think we all know that. So people are starting to line up or not line up. A lot of conservatives have many, many questions about Romney. Can he shore that up, or does he still struggle with that? One of the things that could help Mitt Romney, it's something that we talked about a bunch here on America Tonight, is ultimately what is he going to do when it comes to the vice president? So for the vice president, on the undercard, as I like to call it, Marco Rubio is the heavy favorite, the senator from Florida, who originally said he wasn't interested, now is not completely saying that. Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, is also on that list. Jeb Bush said he wouldn't turn down a vice presidential nod on that card. And you got to think Florida especially is a key state. So would Jeb Bush have some sway? Marco Rubio would definitely have some, we'll say, a power to rally the troops. And Marco Rubio has already been by Romney's side. He just was. Romney saying there is no short list for the VP nominee. He says, you know, it's something that they got to keep plugging away at, that it's going to take some time. So take a listen.
The process for selecting a vice presidential running mate is just beginning.
It's just beginning. Let's hope that nominee, for Romney's sake, can rally. Like I said, I think the conservatives or one of those key states, which I think Florida, Ohio would certainly be the obvious ones that we've absolutely talked about on the show if you looked at a list of states and possibilities. But the former Massachusetts governor is saying that his campaign team, along with another advisor, Beth Myers, her name is, are put in charge of searching, and they're spending time hiring law and financial firms to do that whole vetting thing because they don't want to be embarrassed by that. But Rubio was by his side in Philadelphia on Monday. A lot of people think that he's kind of auditioning for that gig, but nobody is acknowledging that at this point. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to look at vice presidents of the past, vice presidents who have had some positive sway on the ticket and others who might not have done so well in the end. After all, you know, the joke about the whole vice president thing, what do? They travel around, they get souvenirs, and they come back and they say what they saw. And that was the idea with Joe Biden and Obama, is that Biden was going to be more than that, and he has been. He's had his foot in his mouth a lot, and Obama has had to come back and talk about some of the things that Joe Biden has said. So we're going to look at that. Also, did you know that now it's official? They're saying, oh, we're going to run out of money for Medicare. That's going to happen in 2024. Social Security not too far behind. So that would mean partial benefits. Maybe if you look at the payroll tax, 75% is what you would get with Social Security. Very worrisome, but I think that this is not a big eye-opener for most of us, because this has been talked about for a very long time. If only they had just sent us the check. Somebody suggested earlier that perhaps the thing to do would be tie it to the lottery. Oh, my. Buy a lottery ticket because you're helping to finance everybody's Medicare. Can you imagine? I don't think it'll come to that. But perhaps it's not a bad suggestion, because where is the money going to come from at this point? Oh, we've just started. We are raking the leaves out of the garden. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good morning. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. April 23rd, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $16.3140. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.7219, $836.09 for a half ounce, or $418.05 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.7219, $836.09, and $418.05.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black.
Speaking of kicks in the head, before we dive into VPs, just talking about Marco Rubio making the rounds in Philly with Mitt Romney, this deal that came out about brain freeze, do you ever have that? I think all of you can relate to that. You know, you get an ice cream cone or you get something really, really cold and you have that instant pain. It hits your temples. It's when you eat something frozen. This study came out. A lot of people have been talking about it. I was listening to this conversation on a morning show. And before, studies show that migraine sufferers more likely to get brain freeze than people who don't get migraines. And researchers thought there might be something in common with the mechanism or cause. So they decided to study migraines, use brain freeze to study migraines. So what they did was, in this lab, they had 13 healthy volunteers sip ice water. How much did they get paid for that? Through a straw right up against the roof of their mouth. They raised their hands when they felt that brain freeze come on and raised them when it disappeared. So that what they were doing was monitoring blood flow through their brains, and they use an ultrasound kind of process on the skull. They saw that the increased blood flow to the brain through this blood vessel in the cerebral artery that's in the middle, basically, of your brain behind your eyes. Ooh, that's scary. That they showed that was happening. There was an increase in flow, and that resulted in the size in the artery. It brought the pain. So that's what would happen. So whenever you have brain freeze, just think about that. Don't explain it to your grandchildren or your kids. You know, that's that anterior cerebral artery. It's right there in the middle of your brain behind your eyes. That's just increasing. That's why you're getting that pain. They say when the artery constricts, it reins into the response of that flow. And then the pain disappears. But, boy, it is debilitating. I hate brain freeze. I know. I mean, certainly I've had it, like with water ice or maybe ice cream, I'm trying to think. Something else cold I've had before. But I've been with people where they say, oh, brain freeze. Even when we were kids, somebody would stop and they'd have this brain freeze thing. Matt, you've probably been a victim of brain freeze, haven't you?
Of course. Whenever you're eating a lot of ice cream too quickly, or sometimes if you, I get it, if you're drinking something extremely cold and you take kind of too big of a sip of it before you know that it's that cold, I've got it that way too.
Woohoo, brain freeze. All right, I bet Rick in Illinois has not suffered through brain freeze. Rick, have you ever had brain freeze?
Yeah, when they put Palin on TV.
I knew you were going to say that. I set you up for that. We could be a comedy team. I don't know if I would be a good straight person, though, but I set you up for that one. Listen, with VPs, there have been a lot of brain freeze. There's been brain freeze with some of the vice presidents that have happened, I think, in the past. I would put Joe Biden in that category, and I would put Dan Quayle in that category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's arguing about these women that, you know, stays at home, raise kids, but go to work, have a job, but, you know, Romney's wife and all that. But would you consider a welfare mom working?
Would I consider a welfare mother,
somebody who's
got welfare coming in, are they working?
Yeah.
That's a loaded question. Well, it depends. Are you saying that they're relying on welfare, so they're having baby after baby after baby just so they can get checks, and then I find out that they're driving around in a Mercedes?
I don't know. That's why I ask you. You're a woman. You should know.
Here's what I think. I think, first of all, it's terrible that other women go after women for whatever their choice is. They decide to stay at home. I applaud people who decide to stay at home because, really, is there anything greater than helping to hopefully raise a responsible young child that grows up to be a decent adult? And then you don't have to have that tug of war of how much they're being watched by somebody else, and then you got to go pick them up through traffic, and that's nightmarish for people, but it's not, a lot of people can't afford to do that. In fact, most people these days can't afford to do that. So then it's just as much of a struggle for the woman who's got to do it all. She's got to have the job, she's got to raise the child, she's got to do all the other things, and hopefully has a partner that's, you know, has a husband, spouse that's helping her. But, you know, so I would say let's say a woman's on welfare because she can't, there's nothing else she can do. She's been widowed or something happened where she got booted from her gig or whatever, and she's looking for a job, but she's got to stay at home and she has a young child. Well, then I'm not going to throw her in the fire. So I would say, yes, then she's working. She's probably, hopefully she's looking for something else to do so she can bring more money in because she's probably pinched. Does that answer the question?
I just wondered.
Yeah. Listen. I respect lots of women that stay home, and bravo if they can do that. If they have the choice, the better choice that they can do that. Rick, thanks for trying to hold my feet to the fire. Rick, drive safely. No, he's right. I mean, it's a good question, but it's a twisted question because people are on welfare for different reasons. If we're talking about, the stereotypical description of somebody who's leaning on the system to have just to get check after check and have all these kids and have different baby daddies and whatever the terrible scenarios are, well, of course, I think that's atrocious, and it's definitely burdening the system, and I don't think it's right. It's a sham that they're perpetrating. There are other reasons, though, that people get caught in that situation and then often try desperately to get out of it because they don't want to be in that situation. So it's not fair to just lump everyone into that. I guess that's the best way to put it. All right, I said that we were going to jump into the VP thing, and obviously we're going to stretch this to yet another segment. Who do you think was the worst VP of all time, the best VP of all time? I've said this before. How much of an effect can the undercard have? how much can they help your campaign or hurt it? I think there are times when you could say a little of both. Of course, what you want is someone to either be neutral or help you, especially help you. Because if they can help you get in with people in a state, let's face it, that's what you want. That's a partnership. You want the partner to be able to pick you up, help you out, back you up. And Joe Biden was that partner to Barack Obama. He was a United States senator from Delaware since 73 until he resigned in 2009. And he ran for president several times. It's interesting because he was one of the longest and long time member and former chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. And his big thing was helping to bring about U.S. military assistance and intervention during the Bosnian War. That was one of the big pushes that he had. And he chaired the Judiciary Committee during the U.S. Supreme Court nominations of Robert Bork and Clarence Thomas. Ooh, you remember how nasty they were. But ultimately, he ran for president in 88 and 2008, but he dropped out, booted out early. He was the also-ran guy again and again and again. Some people were surprised when Barack Obama chose Biden to be the nominee for vice president. But I would say he thought he was that neutral guy. He was the neutral guy because he had been in Congress forever, so he could help in that sense, maybe try to bridge a gap there, I think was the thought. And he wasn't going to hurt Obama, at least that's what they was the belief anyway. That probably he would be able to do some bipartisan things. And he did. He had the bipartisan deals that resulted in the tax relief, unemployment, insurance, reauthorization. Ugh, you know what happened there. And job creation in 2010. And there were a couple of other things that Biden was involved in. Also with Biden, though, you know, he ultimately put his foot in his mouth a bunch of times. And in a sense, that was costly to Obama. We'd have to come back and they'd have to tell Joe, you need to be quiet for at least a couple of weeks. We don't need any more of your noise, any more of your nonsense. On the campaign trail, it only happened a few times. It's happened more since Obama has been in office than anything else. Then we could move from the Obama administration, which, by the way, they keep Biden on the ticket, you assume. I can't imagine. There's been no talk at all of bouncing Biden from the VP role. And that would be unusual to switch vice presidents, although it could certainly happen because maybe somebody doesn't want to do it again, but not in this case. But what about Al Gore? Speaking of the Democrats and VPs who hurt for help, we'll talk about that next here on America Tonight.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for this spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
There are so many benefits you can get from taking unheated, grass-fed whey protein. It helps put out the fire of inflammation and the pain it is causing, eliminate the craving for sweets or carbohydrates, better sense of well-being, weight loss, muscle strength, energy and growth, and optimal glutathione production. Glutathione is the number one means by which you detoxify all toxins, and this is vital to you feeling and looking good again. Consuming One World Whey is the most powerful way to raise glutathione. People report the normalization of blood sugar, the elimination of heavy metals and drugs, and they reported the elimination of pain and the alleviation of constipation after 3 months on One World Whey. Children love the flavor and prefer it over junk food. One World Whey is performing mighty miracles for young and old and is superior, unique, and unprecedented from any other whey protein powder on the market. To learn how to feel and look younger or to sculpt your body the way you want it to be, call 888-988-3325 or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
Times had the same idea as I did. We've been talking about the VP stuff a lot and how much it plays into the politics of getting somebody elected. What do you think? Vice President, does it really matter to you? A liability and asset are just neutral. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I talked about Joe Biden. The Democrats thought he'd be an asset because he was like the wise old Buddha. He had been on the Hill for so long, certainly he had been part of bipartisan legislation, and he, after all, had run for president, in fact, against Barack Obama, had done it twice and dumped out pretty quickly, so wouldn't he be a very good choice? A lot of people were thinking, pushing, all that kind of stuff for the whole Hillary Clinton deal, but Clinton ended up becoming the Secretary of State. So she got her, you know, the cabinet position in the end, and they made nice after all the nasty attacks along the campaign route between the Obama people and the Clinton people. So here's the thing. Since the 20s, the major party nominees for president have carried their running mates home state 65% of the time. That's interesting, isn't it? Now, that number goes up 72% in elections since World War II. But here's the thing. If Romney wants to get that win in his running mate's state, he could go in a lot of different directions. So does he want to get the win? Is he doing the Florida-Ohio thing? Because that's been what people have talked about. In fact, I had lunch with somebody who the other day told me that they were positive, hands down, knew it, that Senator Rob Portman from Ohio would be the best choice for Romney. That would be the best choice, even though people will keep pushing the whole Marco Rubio thing or even Chris Christie from New Jersey, although that makes no sense. But Portman would be the guy because then there you go with Ohio. And could he guarantee that Ohio, that you know, Romney would get Ohio? And can the VP help the candidate actually win that home state? If they knew for sure, boy, that would be an easy, choice. I think then it would be Portman or Rubio if they could bag that for sure. And there's all kinds of statistics on this when you go back in history and look at vice presidents of the past to see how they've fared and if they've helped the person. You know, you look at Al Gore, for example, when Gore wasn't on the ticket and nobody else from Tennessee was. So the Democratic nominee for VP in 92, Al Gore, and then the comparison years, 1988 when Gore wasn't there, and 2004 when he again was the VP nominee, and in 96, the presidential nominee in 2000. So Gore has been all over the map. You could look at him statistically as a separate entity versus, for example, Richard Nixon's VP nominee in 1960, Henry Cabot Lodge Jr. was from Massachusetts. Well, that's the same state as John F. Kennedy. So then you think about his performance and what was that? Does that mean Kennedy was just so strong in Massachusetts, or was Cabot Lodge Jr. weaker? So, you know, how does this bear out? What are the limitations of the vice president, in other words? And so it's interesting that the New York Times did this too. I did it more on gut and what you thought would ultimately happen if you had someone like Gore. He was the 45th VP of the United States under Bill Clinton. He was the Democrats' nominee for president. I was just mentioning all that convoluted years for 2000 and 2000 for the U.S. Presidential election. Right now, he's turned to environmental issues. He's an environmental activist. He founded a bunch of nonprofit organizations, including the Alliance for Climate Protection. He got a Nobel Peace Prize for climate change activism. And he is the founder and current chair of Alliance for Climate Protection, yada, 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 yada. In other words, he's made a lot of money on so-called global warming. Good for him. He made a lot of money on that. But Gore had a lot of success on that ticket. He had a lot of success on the ticket with Clinton, and he pushed for a couple of things in the 90s for the passage of the Kyoto Protocol, which, of course, has to do with the environment because that was his big thing. And look at what he just now is doing. And that was the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. He was opposed by the Senate ultimately, which passed unanimously 95-0 the Byrd-Hagel resolution. And, you know, ultimately, it wasn't any kind of protocol. It didn't include anything binding because we know, we've talked about this before, that it doesn't, you know, unless it results in serious harm to the economy of the United States. So kind of that, to me, was a wash, if you want to call it that. But Al Gore, was he a liability in the 90s? No. There are things that he could be criticized for, and part of that is the whole environmental issues thing, because He is a carbon billionaire, and he's been accused of profiting from his advocacy. He denies it, saying that he's hasn't been working on the issue for 30 years because of greed, but some people would disagree. So that would be the strike against him in some cases. But was he a liability, an asset? That's the key thing. He was more of an asset because he helped the Clintons, but then didn't want anything to do with the Clintons once there was the scandal with the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. How about Dan Quayle and some of the things that happened to Quayle? He served as the 44th VP of the United States under George H.W. Bush. He was a U.S. congressman and senator from Indiana, and people know the jokes about Quayle in some of the faux pas that he made along the way when he was speaking kind of untethered, I'll say. But he's gone on to live in Arizona. He's worked as an investment banker in Phoenix. He was a candidate for governor of Arizona. This is after the whole White House thing, prior to the 2002 elections, but he decided not to run. He's scheduled to give a commencement address at Syracuse University in May of 2012 this year. And, of course, there is the Dan Quayle Center and Museum. It's in Huntington, Indiana. There's all kinds of information about him, but none of the jokes about spelling. You know the old spelling joke about Dan Quayle. He was a neutral guy. He didn't hurt Bush, I don't think, whatsoever. Once he was in, but they won, when he was asked to be the vice presidential running mate, a lot of people thought that that wasn't the good choice, but the 88 election, they won over Michael Dukakis and Lloyd Bentsen. It didn't even seem like it was much of a challenge. And Quayle made visits when he was in that office to 47 countries, and he was also appointed chairman of the National Space Council. He got the nomination for VP in 92, but we know what happened there. As I said, some people thought maybe Bush should have made a change, and they were defeated by Bill Clinton and Al Gore, the aforementioned VP. So to me, of that bunch, Quayle was kind of neutral, and Gore didn't hurt the Clintons, but they were running on a different kind of momentum, too. And Biden was an easy choice kind of for the Obama people because he wasn't going to upstage Barack Obama. So that's why for Mitt Romney, I think the key thing here is when you have an incumbent president, what has to happen is you don't want to get somebody that's going to hurt you. You want to get somebody that if they could possibly carry a state for you, help secure a state anyway, then that's why not go in that direction. People have talked about the so-called Hail Mary, which was what Sarah Palin was for John McCain, but I don't see Romney doing that. It wouldn't make any sense for Romney to do that. I think it's either neutral or somebody that helps in one of those swing states. And it's, you know, is it really likely that the vice presidential nominee has that effect really on the home state? Is it modest, or is it to an extreme amount? If they're uber popular, like Marco Rubio, maybe he could help carry Florida. And then he would definitely be a factor. You know, it's like John Edwards now, who was a VP on the John Kerry card. And what happened there was John Edwards now on trial for campaign finance reform violations. But John Kerry was worried about how he was going to be in the South, how he's going to be perceived. And that was why they went with Edwards when they looked at the possibility of who should they pick. Otherwise, how much of a help would, at the time, was Edwards to John Kerry? And I would say, you know, 2004, not very much. Not very much at all. So kind of an underachieving vice presidential candidate, if you will. Coming back on the flip side with the mail.
BeFreeprepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BeFreeprepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through April 30th, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Microfilter. New instant white rice as low as $8.49 and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99 and much more at BeFreeprepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BeFreeprepared.com April sale ends April 30th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BeFreeprepared.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Right now, the average family spends one-fourth of their income on food. It's time to cut your food budget in half by using the best, most affordable food on the planet from eFoods Direct. The savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. Serve these delicious meals to your family tonight for a quick and easy dinner for about $1.25 a serving, compared to over $3 a serving for any other food. This food is compact, making it easy to store some away, and will be just as delicious in 25 years as the ones you cook tonight. Is it affordable? Absolutely. The new Alex Jones Family Pack saves you up to 50% compared to other food storage companies. See the comparison at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. My friends, as crazy as this world is today, you'd be nuts to not get a storable food supply. Give eFoods Direct a call and order one of the Alex Jones Family Packs and test it out today. Start your journey of food independence today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
Tonight, no decisions from Romney's camp on the VP yet. Lots of names floating around. My theory is, and you just heard me go through all that gobbledygook just to give you a little background on the neutral VP, the one that could help, and the one that hurts you, you definitely don't want if you can pick them. That means you got to vet. And the Romneys are smart enough. He's cautious enough. They've hired a ton of people. They're vetting the crap out of whoever it's going to be. They don't want any big surprises. Could it be Marco Rubio? Was he auditioning in Philadelphia on Monday when he was by Mitt Romney's side? Everywhere they went, people were screaming out, is he the VP? Is he the VP? And they didn't answer. Could be it was just some sort of a test. Others have said that they are somewhat interested, including Jeb Bush. But if you're going to win Florida and it's a choice between Rubio and Bush, I think you go with Rubio. Jeb Bush was popular, but Rubio is now the senator for that state, and people really liked him and wanted to vote for him. He, I think, could have an effect on Florida, and that would be a place where Romney has to win. So the question of who he might pick as his nominee might be a little bit important in this case. And I said this number already. I'll say it again because somebody sent me a note about this. But 25% of the men and women nominated for VP, for vice president, by the majority party candidates have gone on to become presidential nominees themselves. So that wouldn't be shocking. Rubio definitely has presidential ambitions, but they're not leaking at this point, and they're not saying who it's going to be. So we move from that to let's head to the. I was gonna go to Chris Christie and let you. In fact, we'll do that. We're gonna let you hear since we're bringing up the VP candidates, and Chris Christie still is on the so-called shortlist, even though Romney says he doesn't have a shortlist. But Chris Christie wasn't talking about the being the nominee or being the undercard, being the VP for Mitt Romney. Instead, his mind was focused on the fact that the New Jersey Nets have played their last game, or they're getting ready to play their last games in New Jersey because the Nets are moving. Here's what the governor of the Garden State had to say about that.
I'm not going to the Nets game tonight, and my message to the Nets is goodbye. You don't want to stay, we don't want you. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to be in the business of begging people to stay here. That's one of the most beautiful arenas in America that they've had the chance to play in. It's in one of the country's most vibrant cities. And they want to leave here and go to Brooklyn, good riddance. See you later. I mean, I don't have any, you know, concern about it. And I think there'll be some other NBA teams who may be looking to relocate who say, you know, they look at that arena and they look at the base, the fan base here in the New Jersey, New York area and say this is an opportunity for us perhaps to, you know, increase our fan base and to try something different. So, yeah, I got, you know, there will be no tears shed on my part tonight.
Matt, what do you think of that? I love Chris Christie, the fact that he said, I don't care, whatever, we'll attract another team. I mean, he is right. They do have a great arena there, but they want to make more money. That's the name of the game, so that's why they're going to Brooklyn. I wonder how they'll be embraced by the people there, though. The Nets spent 35 years in New Jersey, the last two in Newark. So now they're moving to Brooklyn, and they're going to play in the new billion-dollar Barclays Center at the end of the, you know, at the end of the 2011-12 campaign.
I don't know about getting another team. It's always hard, I think, to, after you lose a team, it's always hard to get another team. I know Seattle has been wanting a team for a long time, and it just seems like of the NBA teams around, I don't know of any teams that are looking to move anywhere, so I don't know what he's talking about as far as getting another team, because you can't really have an expansion team, because there's already way too many teams as far as I'm concerned. And I would say Seattle's probably ahead of New Jersey at this point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought it was, I mean, yeah, listen, I thought it was odd he said that too, and especially they're going to go and play in the Prudential Center, which is a nice arena, but they're going to go and play there and move from where? I don't see it. Not anytime soon. I don't think so. The Nets go to Brooklyn. I mean, that's pretty much it. And Chris Christie, you know, saying that he wasn't sad. It's a, you know, that's it. I'm not going to cry any tears, basically. But they had a little ceremony and a little news conference afterwards, and Derek Coleman said, he's the Syracuse forward who took the Nets, who was taken by the Nets with the number one pick back in 1990, said it's sad that for being here for 35 years, that it, you know, it's part, being part of the team, that it's not going to be here anymore. It's just sad for the people in New Jersey. It's sad for the people in that area because they're not getting a team anytime soon. If they want to root for the Nets, they're going to have to reverse commute to the city. They're going to have to go to Brooklyn, and then otherwise you go and you root for the Knicks. You still are going over a bridge, or you're going all the way down to Philadelphia for the 76ers, and that's very doubtful because that's a South Jersey Philly team. So I don't think so. I think that it'll probably be a very long time before another franchise ends up going out there. They did have a sellout crowd to say goodbye for the Nets for their last game, but I wouldn't look for anybody to head out there anytime soon. There's a better chance of Sarah Palin being on the Romney card than New Jersey getting another team anytime in the near future. Very, very doubtful that will happen. I said I would go to the mailbag, but I'm just going to throw in a couple of things that people have written in about. One of them from Tank, who says, you know what, I'm so sick and tired, Kate, of all the government waste. I mean, it's not even that you're just beating up on Congress. It's very easy to look up this stuff and find out how much money is being squandered. I was stunned when I heard you talk about the fact that they're spending already millions on this investigation over the Secret Service guys. Who cares? It's done. It's over with. They were idiots. Get rid of them. You were right. Yeah, I said that on our last show, that why can't you just put out a memo that says zero tolerance? Here's what happened. We won't tolerate this anymore. This is part now of our policy. It's in your employee handbooks, and this is the way it goes. This is how we roll, just in case you didn't know. And that's it. Their security clearances are taken away, and we're done with it. How much more investigating do you have to do? I get that you can't just fire someone without cause, but there were certainly people on the ground there. They were looking into it. How long does it take to do that and to do this back and forth thing? It's nonsense. All right, here's another one. This comes to us from Sarah Lee. I love that. Sarah Lee. I kind of get the play on words. Sarah Lee, listening to us in Connecticut, WICC, says, hey, Kate Delaney, I've been listening to you since you've been here in our fair state. Love the show. Gotta say, the ultimate bad boy, as I was listening earlier, is John Edwards. He makes me sick. In fact, I used to be a Democrat. I really did like what he stood for. He seemed like somebody who cared about the poor. And maybe deep down he still does, and that's an unfair attack. But he is somebody who definitely tried to pull the wool over all of our eyes, and we believed him. We felt for his wife, and I still feel for the dearly departed Elizabeth Edwards, for what has happened to her. I think he's going to end up in a jail cell, and that's where he belongs. Yeah, the sad part about that, though, too, is he has these young kids, because the kids that he had with Elizabeth, the twins, and now he has this child of his mistress's, so that affects the children, but that's life. You got a daddy who thinks that he can get away with what he was trying to get away with, I guess, and if the jury convicts him of that, then they'll be visiting him behind bars. And I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think this case is a very, very strange one. You've got the ex-aide, you have the wealthy donors, and they're going to get grilled when they're in court. And I think that the prosecution will be able to pull all the money together and say, we're looking at this and we think that he pretty much violated these campaign finance reform laws. And they're going to nail him at least on a couple of the charges anyway.